You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring anyone willing to listen to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy today, so we are indeed blessed. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication, and it's taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. It's actually the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, when Louisa says that, we're saying the same thing, that you wish to confide these secrets, these truths, these unknowns to us, but known now. And Our Lady explains to us what is meant by a secret. And we think about a secret in our modern day vernacular. We think about it as being something nefarious or, you know, negative. But actually, in the language of heaven, what God is intending here and what His Blessed Mother is intending is something totally different. A secret, Our Lady explains to us and defines in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom in meditation number one. She states, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious, it's actually a subtle and humble compliment that our Lord and our Lady are not coming to us and providing these truths and these gifts, we'll call them, unless we were able or capable of understanding. So if He says we're capable and she says we're capable, we must believe that ourselves. So welcome again to the School of Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will in Italy. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. Can you hear us well?
I can. It suffice for sure. Yes. Great day to be awake today. Great day to have an opportunity to do God's will. You know, I was mulling over a couple different things for today's program. Of course, as you probably know, we never prepare. We sort of wait for the Spirit to move us. And one of the passages that came to mind was Volume 14. It's March 16th, 1922, and in these passages or on these passages, there's usually a summary or a title given to each one. And the one for this one in particular is, quote, "To live in the divine will has nothing extraordinary on the outside. Everything passes between the soul and God as in the most holy virgin," end quote. So, you know, God is sort of undoing things. He's sort of turning the coin over, you know. In the past, the scribes and the Pharisees, externally, they looked like they were doing things extraordinary, but for the most part, many of them did not have that interior extraordinary movement by God. So again, it was sort of a false appearance. God is saying now, I'm not concerned about the exterior. I'm working on the interior. So again, for 2,000 years, God has been trying to permeate our soul from the outside in, and it's been to a reasonable extent, has been successful, but has not taken us home. And now He says, okay, I'm going to do things differently. Just like St. Louis de Montfort says, this is going to be an interior coming. This is going to be underground. Nobody can stop this. No poles are going to fall down. There's no way to obstruct God's grace to each and every one of us. The only way we can stop it is if we intentionally say we don't want it. And of course, we do want it. So He goes on to say also, sisters, that, you know, like Louisa, she was saying, you know, I feel like I'm the bad one, the most bad of all. And yet my sweet Jesus tells me that his designs for me are great and that the work in which he is doing in me is so important. And when he talks to Louisa saying this, he's also explaining this to us. He's saying our work, Radio Maria's work, is so important that he does not want to entrust it even to the angels. But he himself wants to be the custodian, the actor and the spectator. Yet what great things do I do? Louisa says, nothing. My exterior life is so ordinary that I do things below others. End quote. You know, sister, it reminds me of actually the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I mean, you're not out there. It's not like you're the sister from EWTN where the whole world knows you. It's almost like you're living, you're growing, your movements are in obscurity. And yet that's the way God wants it. If you think about it, if you're under the radar, hopefully you're more protected than those that are on the surface. And again, we pray that everyone can be under the radar so that this work can be done. It's being done through each and every one of us. God explains that. We trust that. It's being done through Radio Maria. It's being done through the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. So again, we just have to make sure that, number one, we believe this, because if we don't trust this to be true, it cannot happen. God wants us to invoke faith. And in volume two, again, in this language of heaven, Jesus explains, what does he mean by faith? We know what Webster's dictionary says faith is, but Jesus says quickly and succinctly, faith is God. So God is faith. When I return, will I find faith? When I return, will they want me? Will they want God? Will God be present? We're going to make sure that he's present in each and every soul to the best of our ability through the grace of God. Welcome, sister.
Yeah, what you are saying is so true. And it reminds me of the Virgin Mary and the house of Nazareth. I don't think they were that famous. Nobody knew probably about them from a part of the people from the town. But they became the most probably famous people in the world, but they weren't doing a lot of stuff. Like the Virgin Mary, she wasn't going around talking about the gospel, or she was just living in her house, doing her daily stuff, the things that a mother, a spouse does every day, simple stuff, cooking, working, cleaning the house, helping Saint Joseph, helping Jesus doing maybe his things. Who knows what she probably was doing, the most simplest thing, and the same Saint Joseph and Jesus. But all the things that they were doing that in the divine will. They were doing it united with God. So that made all the acts that they did so divine, so holy, because they were doing it in the divine will together with the whole Trinity. So we have to, I think we have to take this an example there, and to make it our daily life, like keep always in mind the Holy Family, and especially when we are in trouble, because unfortunately this world make us worry or have anxiety if we think of the things that are going on right now. But if we focus on living the life of Nazareth, then we will find peace. We will find that serenity and tranquility that they were living on, that joy. And it's a grace too. It's a grace. And it's a grace that we should ask every day to the Virgin Mary, to ask Saint Joseph and Jesus to help us to live in the divine will. And I think I said this once, maybe it was in Mary's Hill. And I say it again because it's a very, I think it's a very fruitful exercise to do. Maybe we can do that every day, to imagine ourselves to go inside of the house of Nazareth, to stay there, to find ourselves in the house of Nazareth, and to absorb all the love that is in the house, all the joy that the Virgin Mary has and give to all the people who goes to visit her, and maybe even sit on the lap of the Virgin Mary and eat with them, stay, maybe spend a
a few moments or as much as we want in the house of Nazareth and live with them and take everything that they're living and give us, and then we can bring it to our own family. And maybe we won't be successful. Maybe we'll be tempted. Maybe we lose our patience. But that's okay. We can start again every moment. And also, it's good to do everything with love, because that's the point of everything. That's the secret of everything. Doing everything for love and for God, because He was doing everything for love. His primacy is the primacy of Jesus was doing everything with love. I was reading today the hour of the Passion. That's the sixth hour. And here it say how Jesus was doing, His primacy was love. And it say, "Oh, my sweet Jesus, 1 hour has already passed since you came to this garden. Love took primacy over everything, making you suffer all at once, everything which the executioners will make you suffer through the whole course of your most bitter passion. Even more, love compensates for it and reaches the point of making you suffer what they cannot do to you in the most interior parts of your divine person." And that the sentence that love took primacy over everything stuck in my mind, and I was asking myself this question, love for Jesus or the love in general, if the love the thing that I do every day is that I do it for love of Jesus. Is love the primacy also in my life, or do I do things because of love of the person, or because I want to be loved from someone else, or I don't know, wherever you fill the blank. But that, I think that should be our primacy, like to do everything for love of Jesus. Of course, maybe it won't be possible to say, okay, I do this for love of Jesus, I do this for love of Jesus. But maybe just if you do in the morning, "Jesus, everything that I do today, I want to do it for love for you." That's already covers everything that we do during the day. And so we should ask this question, maybe if we do something, for who I'm doing this? Am I doing this for Jesus, or am I doing this for someone else? To maybe start realizing where do I put my love? And then maybe we can start and say, "Jesus, I do it for your love." Or maybe sometimes it happens that we do things mechanically and then we don't even realize it. But the intention is there to do it for love of Jesus, but because there are daily stuff, you maybe do it mechanically. But if we realize that, if we are aware of it, that we are doing it mechanically and there is no love, then we should ask Jesus to give us the grace that we do everything with love.
Right. You know, it's almost like waking up and recognizing that it's raining outside and you don't want to get wet, of course. And we can go out, but it's impossible. We can't catch every drop of water. But like you said, when we invoke the divine will and Jesus and His Blessed Mother, it's as if we pop up and extend that umbrella before we go out. Now, the umbrella is going to catch multitude of drops that we cannot do. So the divine will is going to bring to us the possibilities, all the endless possibilities of God and who God is. Another thing, too, it reminded me, when you mentioned about the house of Nazareth, that's really our job. You know, I think about something that I learned in school, because I learned very little. It was, we've got we've got a sphere of concern and we have a sphere of influence. Now we have, let's say this house of Nazareth, we're talking about that analogy. We have a sphere of concern for our entire block, all the homes on the block. But we don't have influence in those homes, but we do have an influence in our own home. So again, emulating this house of Nazareth, full of love, full of vitality, full of God. we can do in each and every one of our homes. Now, we may be the only house initially on the block that's doing that, but that's okay. Because as multiple people begin to do this in their homes, before you know it, the entire block, through the grace of God, will all be living, all the homes, as the family of Nazareth, in the house of Nazareth. So again, that's something that we have to recognize, that only through the divine will can this extend everywhere and to everyone. We have a limitation based on what we can do physically. Again, God is looking for the extraordinary things to be done internally through the grace of God, through the grace of His Blessed Mother, and in the divine will, which can effectuate a positive change on all souls, past, present, and future. And that is extraordinary. Wouldn't you say, sister?
Yeah, all this make me think about something that Madre Teresa of Calcutta said. They ask her, some journalists, they ask her, Mother, what do you think? What we can do for change this bad world? And she say, never will be changed until me and you are converted to Jesus totally. Amen. So this is the secret, to start from us and to apply what you were saying before, to allow Jesus to work inside of us, in our soul. If we are completely open to the grace of God, if we, yes, open to the grace and to participate with this working, spiritual working in our soul, we can really convert our life, and in one way, in a mystical way, the world will change it, because we are all connected in a spiritual way in the mystical body of Christ.
And that's so true. And you know, it's also you know, something that's extraordinary. It's taking advantage of this situation that we're in the actual, and we had no choice as to when we were going to be born, but God has determined that He wanted us born at this time. And we have to look at let's say, for example, the doctors and the fathers of the church. Let's go to Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. Very well known, church doctor. He's in the religious breviary. I think it's number 169. He talks about something extraordinary that we don't hear a lot about. This is a quote from Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. He says, quote, "We know that there are three comings of the Lord." Now, right there, you may say, what? That sounds like heresy. There's only two comings. Listen to what he says. This is Saint Bernard. "We know that there are three comings of the Lord. The third, this one, lies between the other two." Think about it. God came, the first coming, in the flesh. He hasn't come, the final coming. This intermediate coming, we'll call it a coming 1.5. So this third lies between the other two. It is invisible. We just talked about that. This is underground. This is not seen. Nobody can stop this except ourselves. While the other two are going to be visible. In the first coming, He was seen on earth dwelling among men. He Himself testifies that they saw Him and they hated Him. In the final coming, all flesh will see the salvation of our God, and they will look upon Him whom they pierced. This intermediate coming is a hidden one. In it, only the elect see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. In the first coming, our Lord came in the flesh and in our weakness. In this middle coming, He is our rest and our consolation, end quote. So if we recognize and we believe what Saint Bernard of Clairvaux states, church doctor in the breviary, that there are three comings, we're living this coming 1.5. This is the intermediate coming. It's the end, it's the era of sanctification. It's the preparation for those called by our Blessed Mother to be one with God, ready for that final coming, and to enjoy heaven while still on earth. I mean, if I listened to myself and I didn't know the divine will, I would walk away. And many people do, because it sounds unbelievable. But let's just give us a quick litmus test. Did we do anything to deserve to be born? Did we ask to be born? Did we do anything to wake up this morning? Everything was God. Everything was God's most holy divine will. If He can do that, if He can breathe our lungs, beat our heart, and flow our blood, He can have a third coming, this era of sanctification. And it is through the gift of the divine will, we believe, and many other scholars believe, that that's what, and if we're recognizing that, we're going to take advantage of every moment, good, bad, or indifferent, all for the glory of God, all based on the book that God's written. He's the author of our life. That's what Adam's first words were. I think he said something like, my God, my Lord, the author of my life. So if he's the author, he's written our books. And his book, in the ending of the book of each and every one of us, is to be with him forever. But he loves us so much that he's actually given us like editing capabilities. We can edit the book because he loves us. But anytime I know I've edited my book, I've failed miserably. So let's just stick to the script and play our part. We all have an integral part. Each one of you, each one of us, Radio Maria, we're all in this together. This is glorious. And we have to believe that. Sisters?
Yes, I think the final destination is, I don't know is the correct translation, but God will be all in all. Is correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And all in all, but this is the final destination because we have to wait the third coming where he will come glorious and he will make us able to see him with our eyes because he will seem like in the same image. But in the intermediate coming, I was thinking something I was reading recently in the book of the priest of Christ, from the extract from the diary of Conchita Cabrera. And Jesus say, revealed to Conchita Cabrera, I will come another time on the earth, but I want to come inside of the heart. So this working, interior working, right, is a preparing ourselves like a divine indwelling. The divine indwelling. We are to welcome this intermediate coming of Jesus, each one of us, like children of God, but especially, he said, I want to come another time on the earth in my priests, because he's not coming like a person, he's coming like the spouse. So his time is coming like the new humanity, and this new humanity has a head and a body. We are all the body, but the head of this new person is in the priest, because he's the person who is more called to be similar, not only to represent the ministry, the work of Jesus in the church. He has to be himself another Jesus, also has, but he is in a special way. So this is so important also to pray for us, for our interiorly transforming, for the church altogether, and also for the priest, also that they need conversion. Conversion is not only conversion from the sin to the holy life, but conversion is a totally, we have totally to be in
surrender.
Yes, surrender to the Holy Spirit, day by day, holy, more holy today and to tomorrow, etc. And this is a work, like Sister Gemma was telling before, every day I want to try make an effort, not a big effort, not to remember to myself to do the things for love of God. And also the little things. Also, we were telling to speaking this day at lunch, a table, about this nun, Josefa Menendez. She was a very simple nun, and she entered in the monastery 30 years, which was, she was 30 years old, and she died 3 years later. And she was doing very simple things. Yes, she was a mystical soul, but she was doing little things, very little things. And Jesus, every day, he went to her and he asked her, what did you do today? I was ironing today. And the day after, what did you do today? Jesus, I was ironing the same of yesterday. And he repeating every time the same question. And she said, but Jesus, you already know what I am doing. I don't do anything of special. I was ironing. And Jesus said, for me, it's important to do from your mouth, because I want to breathe the love that you make for doing the simple things. It's not important to do big things, but simple things with love.
That's right. It's what Mother Gabriel Marie reminds us of. We don't have to do anything extraordinary. We don't have to do anything additional, really. We have to do what we're doing now, but instead of doing it in the secular way, we have to do it in a divine way. And to do it in a divine way, we can wish that, we can pray that, but we can't do that without God's help. And he's extending that to each and every one of us right now. And, you know, it's interesting too, because, you know, this is going to be extraordinary. We just talked about the three comings of our Lord. I'd like to maybe speak a bit about that later, because again, there's some cooperation. If anyone thinks that St. Bernard is purely imagination, we have to go 800 years previous to St. Bernard. It's St. Cyril of Jerusalem, who is a church father and a doctor in 315, 330 AD. And he said, quote, "We do not preach only one coming of Christ, but a second as well." And again, he's talking about not the final coming, the first and then a second, 1.5. "We do not preach only one coming of Christ, but a second as well, much more glorious than the first. The first coming was marked by patience. The second will bring the crown of a divine kingdom." End quote. That's what Saint Cyril of Jerusalem said. So before we go into the break, I'd like to part with a few words from Pope Benedict's speech to bishops. I don't have the date, but this is what he said, quote, "God is wrapping up everything. 6,000 years of assistance through grace is now being organized and explained by God himself so as to define unequivocally truth, the truth and nothing but the truth, not through man. Man must realize he cannot explain everything." End quote. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Here, I'm free to dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to begin the second half with something that's from June 6, 1935. The title is How the Queen of Heaven Wanders from Nation to Nation Trying to Save Her Children. And it's Jesus speaking. He says, "My daughter, take courage. You will serve in the triumph of my will." Now we can also say, he's saying, "My souls, each and every one of us, each and every person listening, take courage. You will serve in the triumph of my will." He's also saying, Radio Maria, take courage. You will serve in the triumph of my will. It's extraordinary. Radio Maria, under the patronage of our Blessed Mother, Catholic Radio, 24/7, 365 days a year, for the grace of God. And God, in his omnipotence and his charity, is allowing each and every one of us to participate in a meaningful way. We can all do so in the communion of prayer. We can also do so if God has so blessed us with financial resources, because being in the world, not of the world, there are obligations, financial obligations that must be met. And these are difficult with inflation and things getting more expensive and less people having the ability to participate financially. So if you can, see, God knows what we can and cannot do. He's not asking for us who cannot give financially to give. He's not asking for that. But he is asking for those who can to do so. And if we can, to do so on behalf of those who cannot do so. And the great news here is God knows if we can't do it, we're off the hook. But he also knows if we can do it, and I think he's asking us to participate. And if you would please be so kind to do that, just go to radiomaria.us and click on the donate button, or simply call 888-408-0201. That's radiomaria.us or 888-408-0201. Anyone making a pledge, hopefully a monthly reoccurring donation is the best, because then Radio Maria knows what they have, when they're going to have it, and they know what they can do and cannot do. But anyone making a donation, whether you're listening to this program live or in the archives, when you contact Radio Maria at 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us and make a pledge, we will do our part, and we will give you a relic card, a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which contains a piece of Luisa's clothing. And most importantly, the contact information on the back of the card to explain who to contact, whom to contact, when, not if, you receive your miracle. So please be generous if you can. 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. Again, Radio Maria, Mary's Radio. That's where we are. Our Lady, she says, take courage. Our Lord says, take courage. He says, we will all serve in the triumph of our will. And if I wound you, he says, it's a sign that I want to heal you. So this is the epitome of hope. And that's what we are. That's what God is. And that's what Radio Maria is doing each and every day. So please be generous. Sisters, great to have you with us again. Again, it's extraordinary. And I'm not sure if Sister Teresa wanted to continue, or are we moving, passing the baton? Either way is okay. Sister Gemma?
Hi, it's me.
Hi.
It's Elizabeth. Yes, I wanted to say what you were speaking about charity. And I was just reading the passage that says, I mean, it really struck me. It's from the volume 2. I read it also once before, a long time ago. That actually obedience is the greatest form of charity. Jesus says it to Lisa. I mean, it's very logical. It has sense, because that's what Our Lady did in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. It says at the moment she was conceived, you know, there was this first step, second step, all these first days from the book Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. It speaks about that, how Our Lady was perfectly obedient, and she had to pass the test. You know, that the Holy Trinity asked her for that proof. And it in a much greater way than that it asked from Adam and Eve. And it says here, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 4. I do not ask of you a fruit as I did with Adam, but your will. I ask you to engage your will as if it were not your own, by cooperating with and under the dominion of my divine will, so that it may establish within you its life and accomplish within you with certainty whatever it desires. So, and I was like pondering on that. And then I have here another passage from volume 2, October 3rd, 1899. What I said before, as you were speaking, Peter, about charity, and here it says how obedience is the finest, purest, perfect love. So Jesus telling to Lisa. Actually, Lisa is first, she's like lamenting and asking Jesus. Now, while I'm saying this, in my interior, I keep saying, but what is this obedience? What is it made of? What is the nourishment that sustains it? And Jesus makes his harmonious voice heard to my hearing, which says, do you want to know what obedience is? Obedience is the quintessence of love. Obedience is the finest, the purest, the most perfect love, extracted from the most painful sacrifice, to destroy oneself in order to live again of God. Being most noble and divine, obedience tolerates nothing human in the soul and nothing which does not belong to it. Therefore, all its attention is on destroying within the soul everything which does not belong to its divine nobility, that is, love of self. And once it has done this, it cares very little about whether it alone struggles and toils on behalf of the soul, while allowing the soul to rest peacefully. Finally, I myself am obedience. This is just so rich passage, and I was just struck by it. And I remember, before your sisters were saying, and you were saying, Peter, it's not about doing great things, but doing little things in the divine will. And also, it's about obedience. I once heard the priest, I don't know if a saint said that, or that it is, in eyes of God, it's greater to pick up a straw from earth because of obedience than to resurrect the dead because of your own glory. I don't know if I said that right, but I hope
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So the tiniest act that you do because of obedience, it's because of the obedience to your superior, to your confessor, to whoever is appointed to you as authority given by God. It's greater that act than do like magnificent things for your own vainglory.
That's right.
And it is like that, the things that we do in divine will.
This made me think one sentence from the diary of Saint Faustina, and she was so so good to make penitence. Yes, penitence. And one time Jesus told her, I prefer that you eat orange instead of doing big penitence, because you're doing something for obedience, it has more value. Because sometimes we think, oh, it's better if we do big things or we do big sacrifices. This is a good way. is a human holy way. Is a human is it entering the human sanctity? It's a good, but it's divine if we do something in the same way that Jesus did. Because what he did when he came on earth, I came for. I don't use the correct words in an English version. In Italian, sono venuto per fare la volontà del Padre. I came to do the will of my Father. So each act of Jesus is an act of obedience. So every time we do an act for obedience, we repeat the means of the act of Jesus, because all was done was did for obedience. But obedience is not I have to, so I will do. Obedience came for the word ab audire, that means to listen. So I listen what the will of another person, my father, my superior, obey. See, he's to listen. What is the first word of the law of God? Hear, O Israel. And after the hear of Israel, there are many, many laws. But these many laws, more we go through the third coming of Jesus, there is only one law, and it's love. So I will, yes, I can obey. I have to obey, but not because I have to, but because I answer to an asking of love.
That's true. You know, Sister Elizabeth was talking about the, you know, charity being the pinnacle. God, Jesus speaks about that actually in the volume two. It's volume one. He speaks in a myriad of different ways. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because, again, I don't want to steal your thunder. But Jesus actually states that, quote, faith and hope give way to charity, and charity connects all the rest of the other two together in such a way as to make them one while there are three. Does that sound familiar? And he also continues by saying, quote, if faith makes one believe and hope makes one hope, charity makes one love, end quote. These are not my words. These are Jesus' words. So again, this is extraordinary. And in the charitable, because again, think about it, it's a suffering, it's a martyrdom to be obedient sometimes. Even Louisa, I mean, she'd say, Jesus, I don't know what's going on here. I'm paraphrasing. My spiritual director is telling me to do one thing, which is the opposite of what you're telling me. What should I do? And what did Jesus say? Surprisingly, he said, listen to him. I'll take care of him. Listen to him. Be obedient. He will change the mind to make the spiritual director in union with him. It's not our job to do that. It's God's job. So again, the sphere of influence, sphere of concern. We have concern for everyone. But what influence do we have? Really, we only have influence over ourselves. Now, if each and every one of us takes that seriously, then the world will be a better place. And it will be a better place eventually, one person at a time, through our Blessed Lady, through Radio Maria. Sisters?
Exactly, because each person, each soul that is conceived into a body has its own special mission on this earth, a special mission for the in a salvation history, and that is realized through obedience and through charity. I was also pondering, just to say what you said about obedience to confessor, in some passage before this one that I read, also volume two, confessor tells to Louisa to, if Jesus comes, that she has to, like, shun him. How do you say shun him? Like,
yeah, shun him. To... Oh, that was so dramatic.
Yes. Oh, I mean, imagine how... How hard that has to be. I think that's the biggest suffering of every, you know, of all. And so Jesus came, and Louisa was like, wanted to lament to him. Oh, do you see what confessor told me? I mean, it's unbelievable. And Jesus just told her, abnegation, my daughter. Is that a word in English? Abnegation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He told her that, and she was just okay. She said, "I was annihilated."
She had difficulty. She says, "I've got to tell you to go away." And that was again. That's the martyrdom. And again, let's go back to volume one. Just exactly what you're saying, sister. Jesus says, charity, on the other hand, being substance that unites, unites the hearts. But where? In God. Being a most fragrant ointment, charity spreads everywhere and with everyone. Charity, this is it, charity makes one suffer the most ruthless torments with joy. And one reaches the point of not being able to be without suffering. End quote. See, the whole world tells us it's not good to suffer. Now, yeah, it is good to suffer if just, just for the sake of suffering, but we can unite that suffering to mitigate the suffering of our blessed Lord, to unite ourselves. And that's why, you know, one of the, for those who don't have a lot of time to study the divine will, I mean, there's all kinds of windows and doors to enter into it. Perhaps they may want to start with the hours of the Passion, where they're intimately, intimately, in a way never before given, we can share literally in the sufferings and the Passion of our Lord, commensurate to whatever degree our Lord wants us to experience. So again, that's the total unity. That's the charity. That's the love. That's the obedience. It's all wrapped up. It's everything God was. He explicated all of that through the gift of living the divine will. That's what's so extraordinary. And that's why it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of obedience to recognize this gift for what it is. He says, this is not for everyone in the beginning. Remember, he started all of creation with two souls, Adam and Eve. He started this church with only 12 disciples, right? Apostles. He introduced the gift of living the divine will through one soul. And then it'll spread. He says, the ear of grain will be formed with you, Louisa. Then only the priest will have knowledge of it. That's happened, St. Hannibal. Then he says, and then other souls. He didn't say necessarily other priests. Yes, there will be other priests, but all souls. Again, Jesus says, I had to make this easy and accessible to all, in all situations, in all circumstances, and in every place, unless the soul does not want it. So as long as we desire this gift, he says, we're in the state of grace. He guarantees us immediate entry into the gift. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be immediately at the same level of Louisa, although that could happen. Again, this is a mystery. This is God's mysterious, mystical gifts. But we can gain entrance into it. We can get into the foyer, get out of the rain, and then our work begins. Sister?
Yes, I was thinking also connected to what we are telling before, that we are hidden, we are simple, like community, like imitating the life of Nazareth. But in the same way, yes, we nobody knows us. We don't go everywhere to evangelize. But in this hidden life, we bring in our womb all the world. So we are not in the world, but the world is in us. We embrace all the souls in a measure that we can, but you, for sure, in a measure that is given by faith. We know that by faith we can do this, because we try to be more united with Jesus in every act, and in Jesus is all. So we try to live like a pregnant woman. We are all, we are called all Maria. So we are called in one way, we are all pregnant, and we bring in our womb Jesus in a spiritual and mystical way. So every soul, every act that we do united with Jesus, we repeat the divine version of the life of every soul. So it's and in this act, it is not involved only the faith, but it's involved hope, and the total at the end there is charity, total charity. I'm doing an act only for love, but with faith, through hope, and through charity, I can touch every soul in a simple act. And also, you're doing before, we are telling that Jesus starting only one soul, and this soul it's so important. And I have just a little passage from volume 16, November 8, 1923, and Louisa was telling, his privation continue, at the most he comes like a fleeting flesh, and while it seems that it may want to make light, one remains in the dark more than before. Now, while I was swimming in the bitterness of his privation, my sweet Jesus made himself seen in my interior, all busy writing, not with a pen, but with his finger, which emitted rays of light, and that light served him as pen in order to write in the depth of my soul. This is a work, the spiritual work that Jesus was doing in her soul. So we are in the disposal of Jesus every time. I wanted to tell him, who knows how many things about my poor soul, but putting his finger on his lips, he made me understand that I should keep silent, for he did not want to be distracted. Then after he finished, he told me, daughters of my supreme volition, I am writing in your soul the law of my will and the good it brings. First, I want to write it in your soul, and then, little by little, I will explain it to you. All the jobs, all the work is done by God in our soul. But we have to we have to cooperate not only one day, not only one month, but all our life. In this our life, there was a priest, Italian priest, now he's dead. He was an exorcist. He was so good, so paternal. Padre Francesco Cavalli, Padre Cavallo. He said that every time we do a little action for love, all the universe it changes. And in one way, every single act united with Jesus is an act of love, is an act of charity. And we do this for the sanctity of our soul, but the sanctity for all the universe is inexpressible in a human way. And in this life, we have what the priest was telling, the Padre Cavallo. He said, in this life, it's not a joke. We play our eternal destiny. We are called the militant church. Every act is not a simple act. Every act go in a plate. And this plate is surrendered, handing by Our Lady. Because through the Montfort, we know every act we do, we have to present this act through Jesus and Mary to the Eternal Father. This is the big value that it has.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. We have about 2 minutes, sisters. So whoever wants to spend those last 2 minutes.
Last 2 minutes, we can ask prayer for our new bishop. Next Saturday, we will go in the south of Italy to be present at the mass of the episcopal ordination of our new bishop. We will ask you to unite with us in divine will to pray for him. And he's very young. He is 50 years old. His name is Domenico Beneventi. He's from South Italy. And sad. It's so important to be united in prayer also for this reason. And the priest, the church needs a holy priest. And we can make holy priest also with our prayer, our little sacrifices, and our little acts and rounds in divine will.
Right. Amen. It's all here. It's all here. It takes faith. It takes hope. It takes courage. And of course, what binds all of that is charity. And what is charity? Charity is love.
Yeah.
What is God? God is love. It's the reciprocal of love. That's the divine will.
In his episcopal motto, stemma, come si può chiamare, stemma?
Motto,
episcopal motto. He said in Latin we can read... I hope I have in here. The word is, I hope I can do in time. Timor non est in caritate. Fear that is not in charity. So he's so connected to what we are doing.
Certainly is. I like to end with a quote from June 6, 1935. Back to that. Jesus speaking, "Know, O child, and to us, that I occasionally are compelled to punishment for the good of creatures. My heart is such that it hurts. but I entrust them all to my mother. Then he goes on to say, my sweet Jesus was giving to his mother, this was what Louisa witnessed, she saw this, the privilege of saving whomever she pleased, and everyone marked by her remained immune. A mother is choosing, selecting, and sealing souls. She's doing it every day, every moment, and she's doing it through Radio Maria. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, sisters, for your vocation, for your time, and for your love.
Thank you, everyone. Thank
you. Bye, Sister Rita. Rika.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.